National News.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the June 14th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. We're now 39 days away to the opening ceremony for the Tokyo Olympics in Japan. What have the preparations been like for African teams? That's the question Iron Mike Mbonye posed to the president of the Association of National Olympic Committees of Africa, Mustafa Baraf.
I can tell you that the level of preparation by the African teams are going very positively, as we put a great amount of money in forward for the preparation, nearly $2 million, which we give to the whole teams who have been elected, of course, and qualified. Despite the COVID, the program have been set up by all the countries to be carried on the right time.
Is the Association of National Olympic Committees of Africa, or ANOCA, providing any assistance to African teams who may have been affected by COVID-19 pandemic?
Here, I mean, a lot of progress has been made by the ACNOA during this period. We have negotiated with the Russian Olympic Committee and the government of Russia to provide us with Sputnik vaccination for all the teams. And according to the last minute meeting in Egypt, the Egyptian government and the Olympic Committee of Egypt has also contributed by taking the logistic of all the vaccination to be distributed to the concerned countries throughout. So I would like really to be sure to tell you that most of the African teams, all of them, will be vaccinated to avoid any problem with the COVID. Also, we set up an insurance for all the teams, just in case there is a pandemic settled or something else.
How will you rate the chances of African teams at the Tokyo Olympic Games?
Let me tell you that concerning this, we are sure, after all the preparation of our athletes in Africa and all the efforts made by ANOCA and all the members to make sure that the preparation have been made in the good standards, and that the money and the finance was available, and that the infrastructure was there also to be met, we are sure that this time the rate of chances will be increased compared to the last edition of the Olympic Games by hopefully by at least 15 to 20%. We are seeing these in basis of analysis and strategy ANOCA have put throughout all this month to make sure that despite the COVID, despite this pandemic, the athletes will have to receive the best standard training, the best quality, and also at the same time to respect the protocol put on by against this pandemic of COVID. So we are now expecting, hopefully, that all the African teams will take the responsibility to give an honor to the African continent as usual, to bring more and more good results for this African continent. Also, the natural physical standard of the African athletes is a major factor which contributes a lot to reach the objectives set up by all the countries separately, which is to reach most of the finals or best standard and to come back with medals to Africa. We are sure that the athletes are very aware of the big responsibility we give them and we put over their task and objectives. We have put all our effort, we put all the energy to make them reach this. So now it's up to them to go back with better results than last edition. And once again, As president of ANOCA, I would like to thank you again for giving me the chance to talk about ANOCA and the athletes.
That's Mustafa Baraf, the president of the Association of National Olympic Committees of Africa. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Algiers, Algeria.
Sport greetings, everyone. This is Falilat Ogukoya, Olympic silver and bronze medalist, African record holder, ranked the best quarter-miler in the world, 1998. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sport on Voice of America. Thanks.
Thanks, Falilat. Now let's go to Cape Coast, Ghana, where the country's national men's football team, the Black Stars, played a scoreless draw over the weekend against their neighbors, the Elephants of Ivory Coast, in a friendly international match. The Black Stars also failed to find the net last week in a 1-0 loss in Morocco in another friendly international. Our friend in Accra, Kwabena Quicksilver Ofori, filed this report after the game against Ivory Coast.
Both teams were tactically good, but the Elephants were on top of affairs with regards to their accurate defense and midfield, and also their powerful attacking skills, which posed a threat to the Black Stars. But at the end of full time, the scoreline remained goalless. The captain of the Black Stars, Andrew Ayew.
Solid performance. Tough game. We wanted a win at home, but we didn't get it. It was a 50-50 game. But I think we showed a lot of determination, good play in some points. They were very dangerous on set pieces, but we were able to handle that. We could see the progression of the squad. We could see the plan behind it. So now we need to make sure that all what we are doing now, we need to try and create chances to be able to score more goals.
Head coach of Ghana, C.K. Akono, said he was satisfied with his team's performance.
What we've done in Morocco and today, definitely we'll progress on. If there's anybody who is a scorer and good, we'll look for that person. But so far what we have now, we have to work and improve in that area, that department. It's very, very important for us because without goals, you'll not be a winner.
The Elephants coach, Patrice Bumel, appreciated the performance of both teams and elaborated on the abundance of talents in Ghana and Ivory Coast.
About the Black Stars, I know them very well. I know some of them since almost more than 10 years. We played each other wherever I coach. So I know the quality. We are neighbors. Ghana and Ivory Coast, we have millions of good players. Always, and I know that it's one team that we have to count on for Africa Cup of Nations and World Cup qualifiers as well.
Both teams use the game as rehearsal for the Qatar 2022 FIFA World Cup qualifiers scheduled in September. The game was played under strict COVID-19 protocols as required by CAF and FIFA. The last meeting between the two countries was at the 2015 Africa Cup of Nations final in Equatorial Guinea, where the Elephants won 9-8 on penalties after extra time. For the Sunny Side of Sports, Kwabena Ofori in Accra.
You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Prince Nesta joins us once again with another spicy football package. And Prince says he'll be kicking off with the results of some African international friendlies. Sporty greetings, Prince.
Sporty greetings to you too, Sonny. Algerian captain Riyad Mahrez recorded his name on the score sheet to ensure the Desert Foxes of Algeria cruise to a 2-0 win over the Carthage Eagles of Tunisia in an international friendly match played during the weekend. The North Africans are now unbeaten in 27 games and will be aiming to defend the Cup of Nations title next year in Cameroon, where they will be hoping to become the first country since the Pharaohs of Egypt in 2010 to successfully defend the title. The Desert Foxes have also been grouped together with Djibouti, Burkina Faso, and Niger in the 2022 World Cup qualifiers. The Black Stars of Ghana and the Elephants of Ivory Coast settled for a barren draw in a friendly encounter played at the Cape Coast Stadium on Saturday. The Ivorians have remained undefeated in their last six matches since losing a goal to nil against Japan in October 2020. The Black Stars have also failed to score in consecutive matches for the first time in the last 2 years. A free kick from Moroccan wonderkid Ashraf Hakimi was just enough to ensure the Atlas Lions defeated the Stallions from Burkina Faso a goal to nil to seal the 14th win for their Bosnian manager Vahid Halihozic. The Lone Stars of Liberia also suffered a 1-0 defeat to Al Murabitoun of Mauritania in Friday's international friendly, and they will be back in action later today when they face the Mediterranean Knights of Libya in Tunisia. The Lion Stars of Sierra Leone will be up against the Squirrels of Benin in a do-or-die African Cup of Nations qualifying encounter. The match will be played behind closed doors due to the ongoing threat of the coronavirus pandemic. A 1-0 win will be enough for Liberia to qualify, but should Benin, who just need a draw to qualify, score, Lion Stars will need a 2-goal winning margin to qualify. Bafana Bafana of South Africa came from behind to register a 3-2 victory over the Uganda Cranes at the Orlando Stadium in Soweto, while the Chipolopolo of Zambia secured their first win in their fourth friendly tie after beating the Nile Crocodiles of Sudan 1-0 in Khartoum, courtesy of a late goal by Amity Shamenda. The Taifa Stars of Tanzania also extinguished the flames of Malawi 2-0 in an international friendly match played on Sunday at the Benjamin Mkapa Stadium, with second-half goals from John Boko and substitute Israel Mwenda. The Leopards of DR Congo also secured a 1-1 draw against the Eagles of Mali in France. Non-striker Khalifa Koulibaly put Mali ahead after just 4 minutes into the match, before DR Congo leveled the match through Raya Casablanca forward Ben Malango. And Prince Nesta, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Moving on to the UEFA European Championship, Belgian star of Congolese descent Romelu Lukaku powered the Red Devils to a 3-0 victory over Russia in a match that was played in St. Petersburg. The 28-year-old opened his scoring in the 10th minute before running to the pitchside camera to pay tribute to his Inter Milan teammate Christian Eriksen, who collapsed suddenly during Denmark's Euro 2020 matchup against Finland in Copenhagen. The former Tottenham S, who just helped Inter Milan clinch their first Italian title in 11 years, had emergency medical treatment on the pitch before being rushed to hospital. His visibly distressed teammates only agreed to resume the play an hour and 45 minutes later after being informed that Eriksen was awake in hospital, with Finland going on to win 1-0. Meanwhile, Lukaku has now been directly involved in 26 goals in his last 19 matches for Belgium, taking his tally to 62 strikes in 94 matches. Belgium will face Denmark in their second group game on June 17th in Copenhagen, before flying back to St. Petersburg to play Finland on June 21st. Manchester City striker Raheem Sterling also secured his first goal in a major soccer tournament to give the Three Lions of England a 1-0 win over Croatia, while Jorginho Wijnaldum, Wout Weghorst and Denzel Dumfries' dramatic late winner and the Netherlands a 3-2 victory over Ukraine in a Group C thriller played in Amsterdam. French footballer of Congolese descent Presnel Kimpembe, his compatriots of Malian descent N'Golo Kanté, Guinean descent Paul Pogba, power striker of Algerian descent Karim Benzema, and speedster of Cameroonian descent Kylian Mbappe should have work cut out for them when France meets Germany on Tuesday in Munich in perhaps the tournament's most enticing game so far. And moving on to the summer transfer window, the major European seasons have concluded for the 2020-2021 season. And the focus now switches to the summer transfer window, where clubs will be looking to bolster their squads in preparations for the upcoming campaign. Just a quick mention on some of the deals that have already been completed so far. French powerhouse Paris Saint-Germain secured the signing of Dutch captain Jorginho Wijnaldum until 2024. The 30-year-old had been linked to a move to Camp Nou until the Parisians made a late offer. He made a total of 237 appearances for Liverpool, winning the Premier League and Champions League. Real Madrid have also confirmed the signing of Austrian footballer David Alaba on a free transfer. The 28-year-old versatile defender joins the Los Blancos with his deal at Bayern Munich expected to expire this summer. And speaking of Barcelona, they have also completed the signing of Eric Garcia and Sergio Aguero, who both joined Barcelona on a free transfer from Manchester City. Aguero agreed to a 2-year deal with a $121 million buyout clause after announcing earlier this season that he would end his 10-year association with the Citizens. And Prince Nesta on the Sunny Side of Sports.
Dear respected friends, sports greetings. This is Milutin Mijo-Sredovic, coach of Zambia national football team Chipolo Polo and former national coach of Uganda Cranes. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thanks.
Thanks, coach.
Hi, this is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossings, where we feature music and interviews along with your favorite artists from around the world. Tune in and interact live with us here in Washington, D.C. Hello, Shirin.
Hello, Larry. How are you?
Good. How are you tonight? Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT.
Thanks, Larry. That's Larry London, a man who's always ready to cross musical borders. In National Basketball Association playoff action, the Phoenix Suns advanced to the Western Conference Finals Sunday after sweeping the Denver Nuggets 4-0. The AP's Bruce Morton reports from Denver, Colorado.
Phoenix advanced to the Western Conference Finals for the first time in 11 years. This after it defeated feisty Denver 125-118. Chris Paul was game high with 37.
It ain't always been, sweet for me. I've always had to grind, and I like that mentality. And that's always been who I've been, and I'm going to stay that way.
The Nuggets did their best to remain competitive after MVP big man Nikola Jokic was ejected in the third quarter after being whistled for a flagrant 2.
I don't know. It happens, so that's probably true, or it's not true. We are not going to change it, so it is what it is.
Jokic still came through with 22 points to go with 11 rebounds. Bruce Morton, Denver.
Thanks, Bruce. Now let's go to Milwaukee, Wisconsin, where the Milwaukee Bucks even their NBA playoff series with the Brooklyn Nets at 2-0. The AP's Dave Ferry reports.
The Bucks have evened their Eastern Conference semifinal series at 2 games apiece with a 107-96 win over the Nets. Giannis Antetokounmpo finished with 34 points, and Chris Middleton had 19 for the Bucks, who scored just 86 in each of their last 2 games. The Nets scored 13 straight points to take a 34-23 lead, but Milwaukee responded with a 19-4 spurt. Brooklyn finished the game without Kyrie Irving because of a sprained right ankle suffered in the second quarter. The injury left the Nets without their starting guards. Kevin Durant had 28 points and 13 rebounds for the Nets, who host Game 5 on Tuesday. I'm Dave Ferry.
Thanks, Dave. Brooklyn's head coach Steve Nash says it was not a good performance by the Nets.
We didn't play particularly well. Thought we had a pretty good start. Level dropped a little bit. They got going on some transition breakdowns. They started getting 3 balls going and some offensive rebounds, some 50-50s. Got a little separation before the half. And then we struggled in the second half.
The NBA playoffs continue Monday night with games in Atlanta, Georgia, and Los Angeles, California. The Atlanta Hawks will try to even their series with the Philadelphia 76ers, who lead 2-1. And the Los Angeles Clippers also face a 2-1 deficit as they get ready to host the Utah Jazz in game 4 of their series. Our VOA basketball fans will remember, every series in the NBA playoffs is best of 7 games. So the first team to win 4 games advances.
Sporty greetings. This is Ike Diagu, captain of the Nigerian men's national basketball team. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thanks.
Thanks, Ike.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bongo flavor to soukous, Afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
Thanks, David. That's David Vandy, the host of the VOA's African Beat music show. On the African golf beat, a young South African player has won his first PGA title in the southern U.S. state of South Carolina. The AP's Graham Agars reports.
22-year-old Garrick Higgo has broken through for his first PGA Tour win in just his second start, coming from behind to close out the Palmetto Championship at Congaree in South Carolina.
Just gone to another level now. So I'll just see what my game can do. I enjoy playing and seeing, you know, what my game does and where it takes me.
The South African posted a final round 68 to finish 11 under and then watched as the third round leader Chesson Hadley struggled through the closing holes, ending with a final hole bogey that gave him a closing 75 and dropped him into a six-way tie for second, one shot back at 10 under. The win was Higgo's third victory in his last 4 tournaments, the other 2 wins coming on the European Tour.
I'm just proud of the way I hang in there. Definitely didn't have my A game in terms of off the tee, but I like that sometimes. I like not having to, you know, play perfect golf. I enjoy scrambling and making a couple putts, which I did. It's one of those courses that if there are a couple holes that you can definitely make birdie on, so I was trying to capitalize on those. It was just whether Chesson was going to run away with it and or, you know, if we were going to, you know, kind of stay up there and have a chance. And luckily we did.
I'm Graham Agar.
Thanks, Graham. The South African Garrick Higgo is definitely a player to watch in professional golf. Garrick won a first-place prize of $1.3 million for his PGA Tour victory in South Carolina. And here are a few facts about Garrick Higgo. He was born in Johannesburg and started playing golf with his father, Michael, at a very young age. In 2008, when Garrick was 9 years old, his father died tragically in a car crash. Garrick has been mentored by South African golf legend Gary Player throughout his career and often meets with Player to discuss course and play strategies.
This is the Voice of America. Washington, D.C.
The Voice of America's Global News Program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest news stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. Our correspondents gather the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 17:05 UTC on The Voice of America.
Thanks, Steve. That's my VOA colleague, Steve Miller. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Let's give a sunny side of sports salute to Novak Djokovic of Serbia and Barbara Krejcikova of the Czech Republic, who won the men's and women's singles titles over the weekend at the French Open tennis tournament in Paris. VOA's Gwen Ooten joins us now with reaction from both champions. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Novak Djokovic entered Sunday's championship after becoming the only man to defeat Rafael Nadal twice at Roland Garros. And in his final match, Djokovic bounced back from dropping his first two sets against Stefanos Tsitsipas to clinch the French Open title. The world number one is now the first player in history to win each of the Grand Slams at least twice. And with his newly acquired trophy prominently displayed at his side, Djokovic told reporters he's proud of his historic achievement.
Being part of the history of the sport that I love with all my heart is always something that is very inspiring and very fulfilling for me. So I can, you know, couldn't be happier and more satisfied with this kind of scenario in the last 48 hours. I mean, probably ranks in the top three all-time achievements and experiences that I had in my professional tennis career.
Djokovic now has a total of 19 Grand Slams, just one behind the record of 20 men's singles titles shared by Rafael Nadal and Roger Federer. But Djokovic said he's always believed in the possibility of catching up to his biggest on-court rivals. He won the Australian Open earlier this year and is now in an excellent position to complete a Golden Slam, winning all four majors in the same year. The last man to achieve that feat was Rod Laver in 1969. Runner-up Stefanos Tsitsipas hoped to become the first Greek player to win a Grand Slam title, but he told reporters despite the loss, he feels he's on the right path to one day dominate the sport.
Despite my loss today, I have faith in my game and I very much believe I can get to that point very soon. I was close today and every opponent is difficult. There's a small difference between the player I play today and the ones from before. But I think with the same attitude and the same, if I don't downgrade myself, I see no reason for me not to be holding that trophy one day.
On the women's side, Barbara Krejcikova held two trophies at Roland Garros after completing a rare title sweep, first in women's singles and again in doubles. And in her post-match interview, she was asked how it feels to be called a French Open champion.
Happy. I'm really happy. I'm extremely happy. It's a dream come true for sure. It's really hard to put the words together right now because, you know, it's just so many emotions and so many things going through my mind. And I'm just, you know, I'm really happy that I was able to handle it as I did. That mentally, I think that was the biggest key. You know, it's something I have always dreamed about, you know, winning here my first doubles title, Grand Slam doubles title, and then, you know, winning the mixed ones. And now, you know, I was just telling myself, like, you know, it would be really nice if I can get, you know, the Grand Slam in all three categories. So now it's happening. I cannot believe it. Now it's happening. Wow.
Krejcikova said her late mentor, Jana Novotná, was on her mind throughout the tournament. Novotná was a former Wimbledon champion who died in 2017 with her tennis protege by her side at the end of her life. Krejcikova says she continues to draw inspiration from her former mentor and believes Novotná is watching over her. Meanwhile, Anastasia Pavlyuchenkova made history for appearing in her 52nd major to clinch the runner-up spot. But she later told reporters that a knee problem that flared up in the third round of the tournament might have cost her the championship. Pavlyuchenkova had never made it beyond the last eight of any Grand Slam until now, and she says the best is yet to come. The best in tennis is certainly yet to come. Get ready for Wimbledon, the tournament that was canceled last year due to the coronavirus pandemic, is scheduled scheduled to return on June 28th. And that is all from me, Sonny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uden. Novak Djokovic will now try for his third major title of the year at Wimbledon. Djokovic says he would also like to win a gold medal at the Tokyo Olympics. In Novak's words, everything is possible. And that wraps up the June 14th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.